Third step, reviewing our mental makeup. He has no fear of evil tidings. He trusts the eternal with a steady heart. Psalms 112:7. It is necessary then to realize the meaning of this saying of the prophet. With a steady heart, not with a fluttering heart, remember? With a steady heart, he trusts the eternal. The eternal is the ever-present, that which is always present everywhere, and there can be nothing else, because if the eternal is present and he is all there is, how can there be anything else? So he knows, therefore he is not afraid, and he does not fear evil tidings, because these belong to the mind. And it's the mental makeup of the individual we've got to see. This is the state of mind we must have when we begin to review our mental makeup. Bless the eternal, O my soul. Remember his benefits, his pardons, all your sins and all your sicknesses he heals. He crowns you with his love. He gives you all your heart's desire, renewing your youth like an eagle. Psalm 103:25. These words convey to the mind something that is deeper. And we have to dwell upon them for a while, and that's why the Bible is such a wonderful book. Because although it was written by men, like yourselves, like me and you, these prophets knew what they were talking about. And through their experience, they wrote these things. Inspiration enabled them then to write down that which would be beneficial to mankind. So the Bible is a book of inspiration, and I find that it is a wonderful book of inspiration. And this is also true, the Eternal is ever present in us and with us. It is he who heals, forgives all our errors, and there is nothing to fear. He also gives us what we desire when we pray, believing we have it. He is ever young. He is our life and perfect liberty. So life is always young. Life is perfect liberty. In the recognition of this life being eternal youth, when the consciousness becomes aware of, the body reflects what the consciousness is aware of. Therefore, I will say that it is so that the body should be kept young, complete, until such time as the soul leaves the body, like Elijah. And that time will come when we'll begin to learn more about ourselves and the wonderful powers inherent in ourselves, made in the image and likeness of God. I have often wondered how it is possible to say to the sufferer, when no organic lesion is found, it is just imagination, go home and forget it. But does the sufferer forget it? No. It only makes the conditions worse. And to say that it is functional and leave it at that is just pure ignorance of the cause of the trouble. The poor person now is suffering continuously with these particular aches and pains, no matter what it may be a skin trouble, maybe a stomach trouble, or any other trouble. And to say that it's functional is say, go home and forget it. But can the person forget it? Of course not. This is much easier than effecting a cure. But from the patient's viewpoint, it is far from satisfactory. When he may be unable to swallow, when his legs are wasting because he cannot use them through hysteresis, paralysis, etc. There is a cause for all this, and it is by no means difficult to effect a cure when the method I am revealing to you is understood and practiced. To merely say that it is purely functional does not effect a cure. It only puts the patient in a greater dilemma than before. Yes, the body talks back at us when we do not know the cause. And it is very easy to say that it is all mind and leave it at that. This may be true, but why? The answer is that those cells in the cerebellum are not working right. There is a misbehavior there, and there is a way out of these inhibitions which we ourselves create unknowingly. I've often told you, I've often warned you about becoming aware of your reactions, your thoughts, your emotions, and the motives behind them, because these are the beginnings of your emotional habit patterns. Continual fear of something will cause a misbehavior to take place in the cells of the cerebellum, which will outpicture itself in the body in some form. It is necessary then to know what you are doing. And by knowing what you are doing, you will relieve yourselves of it, because it will dissolve away. You will begin to take the brakes off. And when you take the brakes off, God does the work. Why? Because life itself is unconditioned. You, I, and every one of us condition life. Look at your own bodies, look at your own affairs, look anywhere you wish, and you will find that you are conditioning life every moment. We condition electricity, we condition life. But if you know that life is unconditioned, then you are life itself. Then you will know also, you will be aware of these things that create those conditions, and how you are creating conditions. How then you are creating the particular mischievous affair that is taking place in the cerebellum, setting up all sorts of troubles through the nervous system, and eventually outpicturing itself in the body. Without these cells in the brain, there could be no thought or feeling. And when people are nervous, they do not think properly. They think in terms of what is going on in the cerebellum, unaware that the cause and cure is within themselves. When this is known, it alone relieves the sufferer from the fearful darkness of the unknown. Now, we're going to divide the brain into three parts. This is the cerebrum, this is the cerebellum, and this is the medulla. This is the motor part of your brain, this is the thinking part, and this is the what we call the exchange, where all the nerves pass through. This is where all the mechanical activity takes place through your body, such as the beating of the heart, the circulation of your blood, the digestion of your food, the secretion of the glands, and everything is connected up with this portion of the body. There are various centers in this brain which cause all the activities, and these centers can be inhibited to prevent the flow of blood properly, to increase the flow of blood if necessary, also to hold up the flow of the glands, and also to create disturbances anywhere by inhibitions. How do these inhibitions take place? Through your emotional habit patterns. Immediately those tensions take place in the body, they're responded back to the brain, and here you have a further action. And this thinking portion of your brain, being unaware of the fact what's taking place, only you feel these things, then you become afraid. Fear adds coal to the fire and increases the intensity of your trouble. Therefore, you're in the vicious circle now. How are you going to get out of it? Tension always is the cause of all these misbehaviors. There is tenseness in external and internal parts of your body. You take the tension off and you break down these habit patterns, you release those inhibitions, these things that are holding back those brain centers controlling these particular parts of the body. Consequently, you free yourselves from these conditions by a scientific way. You work, how do you work? Half the time you work in a tense condition. Your attention is strained, you sit strained, you think strained, you worry, you do all these things which are entirely wrong. Therefore, you create habit patterns in your work. Later on, we'll review all these things and we'll show you how easy it is to overcome these through your occupation. Instead of having occupational anxieties or creating these habit patterns through occupation, by your occupation, you could relieve yourselves of all those habits through action, through activity. But you must know how to act. The majority of people are acting how? Ignorantly, with no knowledge of what they should do or how they should act. I tell you, this method that I am showing you is far ahead of the old stupid method of psychoanalysis, where the individual tries to catch something in the mind of the individual, saying that the person doesn't want to work, he's receding back to his infantile state, and all these sort of things. These sayings mean nothing to the individual who is sick. But if I show you how to take the tension off your body, off your brain, and release those inhibitions, then you will get better. And you will then analyze yourselves properly, better than anyone else can, for the simple reason that you will know yourselves better than the other individual. You will know your own thoughts, your own emotions, and the motives behind your thoughts and your emotions. Therefore, you'll become aware of yourself, the activities that are taking place, and then you will dissolve them. It is now time to learn that the body talks back to the mind. This is reaction, because the nerves in the body do not function properly. But to know that knowledge will set us free is part of the cure. In fact, we are able to bear these reactions that create negative thinking in the understanding that our troubles shall pass. We do not escape by denying the error and the misbehavior that's going on. We must discern and know what it is, then the truth shall set us free. Continually affirming ignorantly is what I call self-hypnosis. You are drugging the mind, that's all. You are not curing yourselves, but drugging your mind. That's to say, if you have a pain somewhere, you'll take a drug to eliminate the pain. The same thing takes place when you create or you say affirmations. Ignorantly, You're continually drugging the mind as you would drug your body with a drug to take the pain away. But does it cure you? Of course it does not. That is why affirmations are of little value unless we acquire a knowledge about ourselves. Neither can we escape from the error by affirming the opposite, for both are in the mind. Both of them are ideas, and they're fighting each other in your mind, and your mind is a battleground for these opposing ideas. Then you think by putting a positive one in the place of the negative, you got rid of it. Don't you see how ignorant that is? How stupid that is? In fact, it's infantile. The error will still remain unless we know what it is. Life enlightens the heart and mind of man and is waiting to replace all error and misbehavior which contain no principle like that of life. Error has no principle in its own. The condition you create in your body has no principle in its own. The only principle exists in life, which is unconditioned. Therefore, those conditions which you create by conditioning life in yourself has no principle whatsoever, because life alone has principle and nothing else. The only power adverse conditions have is the power we give them through not understanding what these are. We believe in them and they are to us what we believe. When the sum is corrected, the error disappears. Where does it disappear to? It does not go anywhere. It just dissolves into nothingness. Likewise, the misbehavior in your brain cells. With this understanding, it will be easy to remove any manner of discord in the mind, brain, and body, and circumstances. The subconscious does not reason. It produces what we think and how we emotionally react and feel towards things, people, and circumstances. So we must be prepared to accept the responsibility for the misbehavior that takes place, whether it is caused by conscious or unconscious reaction to people, things, and circumstances. Therefore, it is your own responsibility, and there is no use trying to blame it on the other person because you react to what that individual says or does. Any individual who says anything to you that causes you to react, remember that individual is saying it to himself. And anybody desires to injure you, remember that that individual is injuring themselves, because there is only one real self. The self that seems apparent and separate to you and me is an illusion. That self must be lost in the greater self. And so the truth of the Master said, "Know ye not, it's the Father whoever remaineth within me who is performing his own deeds, he who does the work." Therefore, when we acquire the knowledge of how to review our mental makeup, help through scientific relaxation and outcropping of the mind, we are well on the way to successful living. I have proven hundreds of times that fear disappears when we understand the mechanism that creates our troubles. When we see that these conditions are self-created, we are no longer afraid of them. We are not aware that the body is talking back to us until we become aware of the mechanism that performs this feat, producing thoughts and feelings which create fear, which intensifies our troubles. So, you are also quite aware of the fact that you, in the past, have not realized that the body has been talking back. But when we see the mechanism of how the body talks back, then we realize the possibility of the cure. We must develop an insight into the working of our mind, brain, and nerves. This insight will enable us to guard against any difficulties which lie ahead. The man who knows the fact is superior to the one who does not know the facts. Then let us turn our individual attention in the right direction based upon the law of mind in action. We shall, as a result, gain the greatest possible return for our efforts. We will be free to enter any field of action and there develop and achieve beyond our wildest dreams. When you know the mechanism that is active, when you know the mechanism that does things, this mechanism is under your control. You can switch it on and switch it off. You can cause it to run riot or you can cause it to run smoothly. All is within your own hands. Relaxed attention is a word that I have coined to convey a meaning. When you work relaxed, you do better work. There's tension taken off all the muscles. The energy is concentrated through your brain. You're not using up energy in muscles that should not be used at all. All the energy is directed towards one end. Relaxed attention is the same thing. Perhaps I'm going too far, but nevertheless, I'd like just to explain to you what it means. Attention that is spread over too many things at one time is strained attention. There's a fog over it. You cannot grasp the details because the attention is strained by too many facts at one time. Relaxed attention is directing the attention towards one particular phase of the question accurately. Then the next phase accurately, and the next phase accurately, till such time as the attention to the mind absorbs all those facts into itself, then the mind becomes a vehicle in itself to analyze, direct, and pigeonhole the various things that it has seen ready for use at any moment. But with strained attention, that cannot be done. If you try to read too many words at a time, your eye will strain. Macular vision means that you take your eye and move your eye around the smallest point. The focus is always moving around the smallest point, therefore everything is conveyed from the eye to the brain. Therefore the mind is aware of what is being seen through the eye. Spread your vision and you strain your muscles of your eye as well as you fog your mind. Use macular vision and you increase the intensity of your sight. You'll improve your sight by working that way, just as you improve your health by working also in a relaxed state with relaxed attention. How stupid people are. These things are simple to understand, but you see, people have forgotten the real art of living. Let us get back onto the road for real living and see the difference in your lives. We have now progressed with two exercises already given. One, relaxing the legs and arms and thereby taking the tension off the muscles. Two, relaxing the muscles of the chest through natural breathing. When the external tension is taken off, the internal tension also begins to let go. This is performed in the cerebellum by giving up its misbehavior in the form of inhibitions. These inhibitions are released with the result that the body begins to function normally. Isn't it much more easier and smoother way and more scientific way to release all these habit patterns? It is the new and most satisfactory way. And I say to you this, that whatever I tell you is true. Men in the Bible wrote by inspiration, but inspiration is not yet dead. Inspiration that existed the time when the prophets wrote the Bible, that same inspiration waiting now to manifest through you and me. We have already read that the cerebellum misbehavior can send impulses to the motor center of the brain, causing these motor centers to block or inhibit muscular movement, and in fact restrict it very considerably. We have also learned that conscious scientific relaxation can release these impulses so as to free these inhibitions. And if you have properly done these previous exercises, you will be ready for the following. Now, don't tell me that you haven't done those exercises. Don't say to me that you have been too busy, that you didn't have the time. The busiest men in the world have time to relax. They want brain power. They want to release these inhibitions that prevent them from doing things. Therefore, they go about scientifically to relax, because they know how to get better results. These people have brains. They have intelligence. I hope you have brains and also intelligence. Relax, as previously explained. Now breathe, as already instructed, easily and slowly through your nose. At the same time, the abdomen will extend naturally. Then the intercostal extends automatically. Now exhale and you will find that your chest muscles are relaxed. This also relaxes the muscles controlling the bronchial tubes, and free breathing is the result. Asthma and all these particular forms of troubles are removed by that particular state. If you want to find out this breath, put your tongue to the roof of your mouth and turn it back into your throat. But you don't keep your tongue in the back of your throat, because you will soon find that you're creating tension. But once you have found the way to breathe, you take your tongue and place it in the floor of your mouth and relax it. Then breathe naturally and easily, and you'll find that these tubes are open. The air flows through these three channels behind the nose. And not only through one here, as most people breathe. And when they do like that, they lift themselves up. Breathing is a natural thing. Watch the cow, the horse, the cat, or the dog, and you will soon find the way to breathe. Once you've found then that the breath flows through these three channels and when the throat is open, you will find that the abdomen comes out slightly because the diaphragm moves down. The diaphragm is a muscular bend that separates your lungs from your intestines. And it's automatic in nature. It's continually working. It is controlled by this portion of the brain here. These motor centers of the brain. When there is a misbehavior here, sometimes we have what we call a static state of this area here, the diaphragm. Therefore, it doesn't move. Breathing then is a natural thing when the lower portion here starts to move out when you breathe. So you breathe this way, like this. You don't hear me breathing, do you? But you see my stomach going out and my chest rising up afterwards? Three channels are open, that's why the breath is going right away down. And it moves this way. Here is your, we'll say this is your chest, your stomach. Diaphragm is here. Immediately you breathe, this comes down like this, and this causes this to come out like that. Then these muscles here begin to open out too and rise from like this. So the movement starts here and moves up like that. That opens the tube, relaxes the muscles of the chest, and relaxes the muscles that surround the bronchial tubes, because these tubes are muscular tubes and are controlled by muscles. Asthma, bronchitis, and these conditions is where those tubes become held like that in a vice through tension from here. The misbehavior in the cerebellum is causing that through your tension, through your emotions, through your ignorance. Therefore, your emotions are created through ignorance because you're afraid. The greatest fear is the fear of death. But you can never understand life or know life if you're afraid of death. The Master said, let the dead bury the dead. These were the living dead that believed in death. Your lungs are of great importance. They eliminate 2 pounds of waste matter a day, which is equivalent to that thrown off by the bowels and kidneys. Not only does proper breathing eliminate waste, but it also has a profound effect upon the emotional nature, which I will explain to you later, if not in this lesson, and in one following. Only when you breathe properly will you be ready to review your mental makeup, including all these emotional reactions and repressed painful memories, even as far back as childhood. The method I'm going to direct you is called outcropping by free association. You repeat whatever comes to your mind silently to yourself, letting one word or event suggest another. You must not inhibit your thought. You will be prepared for this, as you have already been told that painful memories and fears cannot hurt you. Anything that happened in your life, you try to repress, in fact, that you're afraid of. A memory that is hurtful will always hurt you if you do not review it and see that it cannot hurt you. But if you're continually trying to run away from it, it will increase its strength and chase you. You catch you up in some way or another through a misbehavior in the cerebellum. It's very simple, isn't it? That's exactly what happens. There must be free association to view your mental makeup as you would impersonally look upon a film on the screen. You tell on yourself all the things you did and did not do, and should have done, all these must flow freely before you. You need not be afraid of any of them, because you did it or did not do it. It was all around yourself. Therefore, there is nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing held against you. You are the only one that holds things against yourself. God, being perfect, holds nothing against you. You only hold these things against yourselves. Therefore, review them and see what you are doing, and they will dissolve away because you'll no longer be afraid of them. You know, this forgiveness of sins is a wonderful business. Because you can go to the priest or anywhere, and you can go to even the English church and these places, and you have your sins forgiven. And when you have your sins forgiven, you feel light, and you go outside and you feel it's grand to be free. Is that not so? Of course it is. And then you're prepared to do the same thing tomorrow. Now, this is just the same thing. Through free association, you'll release yourself of all those things and you'll feel free, rapidly free. And that is the great thing. You feel free. Freedom comes through proper outcropping, through free association, without in any way hindering any word or thought that may rise to the surface. In this way, you will overcome your own repressions. Instead of presenting a flattering figure of yourself, you say the things you honestly think of yourself. You'll find that your flattering opinions of yourself will fall away into the background. But never mind this, they will come to the fore again when you have honestly dealt with yourself, if you have the courage to do so. Now I challenge you, have you the courage to do so? Are you afraid to face anything that's in your mind? If you are, then you're a coward. There is nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. You are the only one that will judge yourself. You are the only one that can prosecute yourself. You are the only one that can see into your own mind clearly and freely and liberate yourselves from all these inhibitions which these fears have caused in your cerebellum, out picturing in your body all these particular troubles. Some of you, perhaps, who have repressed your emotions associated with swear words will find them rising to the surface. Don't be afraid to say them. These words won't hurt you or foul your mouth. What it will do, it will release you from the inward pressure that these words have on you. I have discovered that some of the most religious people can swear better than anyone I've ever heard when they let go. Why? Because they have been saying these things under their breath all their lives. Many thoughts will rise to the surface in regard to sex. These have mostly been repressed in the past, evil thoughts you attach to sex. In this way, you will acquire a healthy and normal feeling about sex. When you understand the function properly, you will know that there is no evil about it. The evil was created in your mind. God created you, man and woman. Remember, philosophy or religion does not come into this. Only facts count. And the facts are that neurotic or emotional habit patterns are brought into being by any interest that has been conditioned improperly. You have conditioned it improperly. You can condition it properly and relieve yourself of all your trouble. Each one of you have your own individual background. The way the mind works cannot be separated from the way the body works, because the one is interlocked with the other. This all-important fact must always be kept in view. Otherwise, you will fall into the error of blaming others for your own emotional habit patterns. With this understanding, you know that the cure is within you and not outside. A change in your mental attitude will cause a definite change in your physical health and posture. I have also told you that proper eating and exercise is of great value in maintaining perfect health. And this should not be disregarded when pursuing this invaluable method of outcropping by free association, while under relaxation scientifically and consciously acquired. This method will show what you are doing to prevent you from enjoying perfect health and happiness mentally and physically. It will enable you to adjust your activities, relieve you from frustration and bitterness, and establish a habit of thinking that will give you a greater joy in living. It is a practical application of your daily life. Outcropping comes easily through scientific relaxation. It will be a simple matter for you to sit at a table and write out whatever comes into your mind. You must write everything down automatically. Repressing any word or thought will prevent the free flow through association. There must be no comparisons, no idea of right and wrong. There can be no true discernment of what is in the mind free from introspection. Automatic writing is when the mind is flowing through creating, for writing out whatever it comes without stopping, without thinking, without introspection, or looking at it whether it is right or wrong, or without comparisons of any kind. Nothing must interfere with the flow of that expression of your mind through automatic writing. Such a lot of rubbish will come out of your mind and your body. Yes, but that doesn't matter. You will know that was in your mind. A lot of lies will come out too. Lots of things you thought were true, but were not true at all. Still, you'll write them down. Not until you cleanse your mind completely can you come to that core where you can reach that intelligence that is pure in itself to give you true knowledge, inspiration. You will readily see how necessary this is. Further instruction on this subject will be given later on. It is the Christ in you that knows error from truth and knows how to separate one from the other. The Christ in you is the wisdom of God that is able to see clearly that error is not of God, but the creation of man's own mind. Therefore, you are able to dispense with it, knowing that it has no power of its own, for we in our ignorance alone create it. The great secret of success in all our undertakings is this insight, this divine reasoning, that gives us the torch to light the way. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Psalm 16:8. These words are true. You will find that in them will lead you also to further inspiration. These lessons are not just to be dealt with superficially. It is necessary for you to study them carefully and practice. Do what is told here, because your abundance, your successful living, your health, your strength, and your freedom depends upon it. Benediction. O dearly beloved, thy design is within me, waiting to express itself when I reveal my errors to myself. O divine sculptor, Chisel my life according to thy design, for I have ignorantly followed a pattern of my own. O divine perfect one, I have in the past thought thy purpose of life evil, and have reached the depths of despair. O omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent one, every thought that I think, let it be saturated with the presence of thy wisdom. Let every feeling I have now glow with love, for I have seen my mind wherein was once hate, bitterness, and frustration. Thou art the sculptor in my life, my consciousness the chisel in thy hands. Henceforth I will watch and pray that thy beauty may shine in me, O adorable one. Let us now tune into the sanctuary of the silent healing power. Let us open ourselves to the flow of this love, this healing. Think of this benediction that I wrote for you. And if you will study this benediction, they are all inspired words which has come through a great deal of work through inspiration. When I sit down to write these words, and when the time for the benediction comes, I write just as you would write with the pen automatically. The mind must be clear and free from all rubbish, all fears, all painful memories. Then the intelligence itself will write words for you. So read this carefully again, and think of it, if I may read it once more for you. Think of it now in the sanctuary. O dearly beloved, thy design is within me, waiting to express itself when I reveal my error to myself. O divine sculptor, chisel my life according to thy design, for I have ignorantly followed a pattern of my own. O divine perfect one, I have in the past thought thy purpose of life evil, and have reached the depths of despair. O omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent one, every thought that I think, let it be saturated with the presence of thy wisdom. Let every feeling I have glow with love, for I have seen my mind wherein once was hate, bitterness, and frustration. Thou art the sculptor in my life, my consciousness the chisel in thy hand. Henceforth I will watch and pray that thy beauty may shine in me, O adorable one. In this state, then let us enter into the sanctuary, the silent healing. this peace will abide with you now and always.